We're probably 2-3 minutes early, but that's fine. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. That being the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. I'm sorry, 34. Verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he, that would be Christ, had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, challenging him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he, that is Christ, said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now notice these next few words. These are the words of our Lord. This is the great and foremost commandment. What is it that's so important? What is it that has such high priority? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, the Mark version adds, and with all your strength. We introduced this topic last week. We will kind of go back over some of those points and then seek to elaborate. So the question could be asked, in what sense is this commandment the first commandment? Well, I think that it's proper to say it has this idea of being first in the sense that it was a commandment early on in creation written upon the heart of men. That means that these very words now spoken by Christ centuries later were actually binding upon Adam, even in the garden, even before the creation of Eve. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And I believe that it's certainly correct to say that this commandment is first in the matter of priority. It's kind of difficult in life, isn't it, to keep our priorities straight? Things come along, things happen, things change. Dear ones, regardless of what's taking place in our life, the storms of life, the demands of life, the hurts and disappointments of life, there's one thing that towers above it all in terms of importance, priority. It's this commandment. Last week we mentioned another factor. And it's not something easy to grasp. It's the matter of inherent justice. Two little words, very important, very meaningful. Inherent inherent justice. Now, the average person probably will have difficulty understanding how it can always be just and right for one to love his neighbor, or even to love one's enemy. Dear ones, there should be no difficulty in understanding that it is absolutely right, it is absolutely just for one to love God. Why? Because God is our Creator and greatest benefactor. Every heartbeat comes from God. Every breath, every bite of food, every time that we might be protected from God. Who is a greater benefactor than God? And who should we love? Our greatest benefactor. It's inherently just. It's just built into the equation because of who God is and who we are. This is the first commandment, because it stands as a solid foundation of all the other commandments. And the moral law was given. Exodus chapter 20. God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Same chapter. God said, "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth." God also said in that same chapter, "You shall not worship them, nor serve them." But then God said, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." And then he said, "Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy." God's saying, "I want one day out of seven. I give you life. I give you 6 days a week. I want one for me, for you to worship, to spend time worshiping corporately, personally, privately." Is there any other indication? Is there any other way we could say that this commandment is first and foremost above others? Yes. How? Well, here's a good word. Because of its comprehensiveness. Its comprehensiveness. You see, we need to understand and grasp and deal with the fact that this commandment deals with the totality of our being. What we see, what we hear, what we say, what we think, our attitudes towards others, towards God. Now, three words for our help. Exactly, extent, and the basis. Got it? Three words. Exactly, extent, basis. So we're going to think through this. What exactly is the duty? The duty simply is this. We are to love God. I can't put it any simpler. We are to love God. Multitudes upon multitudes, heaped upon multitudes, break this commandment. There are many who hate God. They would annihilate God if they could. There are atheists, there are infidels who delight in blaspheming God. And although in their consciousness they know that there is a God, yet with their lips they blaspheme and deny his existence. Listen carefully. These men say there is no God because they wish there were none. And do you know what? God's command hangs heavy over the heads of those who despise him and hate him and blaspheme him. That command is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Many do not openly deny God. They do not verbally deny the existence of God. But they do so in what we might call a practical way, by disregarding God. They live every day of their life with no regard to God, according to the scriptures. God is not in any of their thoughts. Yeah, they would admit that, well, there's some kind of higher power. To be ignored. They rise in the morning without a prayer. They rest at night without bending the knee. They go through the week's business. They never acknowledge God. We hear them often speak of good luck. Man, I sure was lucky. Nothing about the providence of God. Never acknowledging the sovereignty of God, the attributes of God, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience. God says to those individuals, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, not just walking by and tipping God a quarter. I must point out something here, that among those who are guilty of disregarding God as we have described, are those who would insist, well, I don't go to church, nevertheless, I'm as good as the next guy, maybe better. Dear ones, whether or not one is as good or even better than someone else, it's not the issue. The issue is that God has commanded that we are to love Him. With all our heart. And the fact that there are hypocrites is no excuse for disregarding this command. Very closely related to what I've been talking about are those who who actually, in a way, generally speaking, we might say, stand in awe of God. But that's about as far as it goes. They're amazed at all the marvelous wonders of God's creation, the Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls, and amazing. And you know what God says to them? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Yes, stand in amazement of the Niagara Falls. Stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon that's breathtaking. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's the issue. Again, closely related are those who, they wouldn't go so far as to deny the existence of God. They believe there is a God somewhere. They might even go to say, so far as to say that probably Christ is His Son. Very orthodox. Even able to effectively defend what they believe. The problem is, they read, they study, they contemplate, might even meditate, but they do not love God. God's word comes to them, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Finally, there are those who are faithful church attenders. They wouldn't think of missing a service. They may even be somewhat faithful in their personal devotion, maybe family worship. But the truth is, most of it is mere form. Going through the motions. No substance. No delight in prayer. No delight in worship. There is no love. Love? How much love? Am I to love God this much? Or this much? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's dealing with the how much. God made it clear. Christ made it clear. Our love for God must be supreme. How did Christ explain that? Our Lord says, if any man comes to me and does not love his father or mother, hate his father or mother, and his wife and his children and his brothers and his sisters, yes, even in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. You can go to church, be a member, be baptized, etc., etc., etc. The Lord said, you just can't be my disciple. Yes, we are to love our relatives. That doesn't mean that we hate them in the sense of mistreating them. No. In fact, we're told that he that does not care for his family is worse than a heathen and an infidel. Now, let's look at it a little closer. Not only are we to love God supremely, here's a word we don't use very often. We are to love God heartily. That is, we are to give it all we have. Let me state it differently. No sacrifice is too great. You have the example, of course, of Mary who anointed the feet of our Lord. Maybe a year's wages of costly perfume. She ransacked the house to find the most expensive thing she could find to bestow upon our Lord. You shall love thee, Lord, your God, with all your heart. The next word that is key to our study is with all your soul. Your soul. You see, we have a body and a soul. The body is the house we live in. It wears out. It gives out. It can be destroyed by accident, disease. The soul is eternal, never dying, never dying. Many times as I work with the men in prison, I'm very aware there is a never dying soul. You will live somewhere forever, heaven or hell, for all of eternity. Where death leaves you, judgment will find you. And where judgment finds you, it will leave you. For all eternity. If we are to love God with all of our soul, what does that mean? It means that we are to be willing to die, yes, even to be a martyr, rather than deny God. Jim Elliot, graduate of Wheaton, read his biography. Read his journal. And many, many times he made observations and statements that he knew he would die young. I remember when it happened. Back in those days, there was a magazine quite popular known as Life. Life magazine. And when this happened, when the five missionaries were martyred, editors from, journalists from this magazine, Life magazine, went to interview the ladies, the widows, all five of them, concerning what happened. And one of the editors from Life magazine observed and said, and commented, "We're sitting here talking to you about the death of your husbands, the violent death of your husbands. And there are no tears." "Why are there no tears?" And one of the widows said, "We died before we got here." That was an issue already faced and dealt with. It wasn't, it might happen, it could happen. That's not the issue. The fact is, they saw themselves as giving their life. Do we love God? How much do we love God? Are we ready to give up house, home, liberty, friends, comfort, joy? Are we ready to give up life at the command of God? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." All your soul. All your mind. Yes, and all your strength. Mind? What does that mean? It means our intellect. Many believe in the existence of God. Who do not love that belief? And they do not love God. They believe that God exists, but at the same time wish he did not exist. Some would be very happy if somehow they could convince themselves there is no God. For if there were no God, Then they could live just as they please without any fear of consequences. And many live like that anyway. Last of all, with all of our strength, with all of our strength. Many of you know that in recent days I've been reminded again that our strength can come and go. What do we do with it when we have it? I believe, now you think with me on this, when it says we are to love God with all of our strength, that means that it is to be characterized by activity. doing something, serving God. And especially, I believe it means to redeem the time, not to be a time waster. Because the Bible says we will give an account. Of our time? Yes. Of our time. Of our money? Yes. Of our money. Paul exhorted the Galatians, do not become weary in well-doing. We have an energy to go on a fishing trip. We have energy to go shopping. We have energy about serving the Lord. Don't go weary. And then he adds, to the writer to the Hebrews adds, and don't lose heart. Look to God for renewed strength. Well, this brings us to our third major heading. I may not go into it as much as in detail, but the heading is the basis of the duty. What's the basis of all that we're talking about? God is God. That's it. God is God. And when God says, love me, he has the prerogative to do that because he's God. That's the basis. Now you think about this. This is a quote. He is all-sufficient, eternal, self-existent, unchangeable, omnipotent, omniscient. Wilt thou not reverence him? He is good, he is loving, he is kind, he is gracious. See the bounties of his providence. Behold the plenitude of his grace. Wilt thou not love God? Because he is God. Not a God, but our God. He's our God in the sense that he created us. Psalm 100 should be well known to you by memory. Know that the Lord himself is God. He has made us. And not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And though he is pleased to bring us into this world by the means of human parents, and we've been studying that in the main service, yet he is as much our creator as he was the creator of Adam when he formed him from clay. Well, not only is our creator, he's the sustainer of our life. Every heartbeat is from God. We are totally dependent for every heartbeat. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we pray now that you will use your word to instruct us in the way of righteousness and of your will and purpose for our life. Lord, forgive us for being so careless and so distracted and not loving you as we should. May we this day know what it is to love you with all of our heart. We pray and ask it in Christ's name. Amen.